Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's holy word, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Though we have crossed the meridian from 2021 into 2022, we do remain technically and even culturally within the Christmas season. So I believe it to be behooving that we continue apace to look at the Virgin Mary and her canticle or song, commonly known through the ages as the Magnificat. Mary has just received word, courtesy of the angel Gabriel, that she will give birth to a son who will be called Jesus, and his name stands for Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Mary has gone to visit with her cousin Elizabeth, who is also with child, preparing to bear forth the one who would become John the Baptist. These ladies have something marvelous in common, and Mary breaks out into song. An illiterate young peasant girl that she is by nature and inclination a poetess and a songstress, and she gives to the world this beautiful and magnificent piece, again known as the Magnificat. We read in Luke, the first chapter, beginning in the 46th verse, "And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And of course, the gospel writer, known as the Dear Doctor, Luke himself, adds this very charming addendum: "And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home." Mary found herself on the mountain. She would also find herself amidst the fray of normal living. But in this immediate time, she is on the mountain, so to speak. I have a very dear colleague who is a man who sets aside a great deal of time for prayer. He believes that God has called him with great specificity into a ministry of intercessory prayer. And when he is in those modes, he speaks of being on the mountain. Well, Mary was on the mountain as she sang forth this magnificent piece. And she declares right out of the starting gate, as we have already looked to, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And as we have already observed, it is very easy, even for Christians of the most profound devotion, to fall prey into a kind of understanding that God exists for us. And in truth, he does, at least in one respect. He has created us in his own image and after his own likeness. And as the Westminster Confession of Faith is wont to put it, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God wants us to know the pleasures of his company, and God wants us to know that he is watching over us, looking after us, taking care of us, that he loves us deeply and dearly. He gave his son over to the cross out of pure and unadulterated agape, or the holy and sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. And God says that we can bring our petitions and cares and concerns to him, and we can have anything that we need or ask as we pray in the name of Jesus, which of course also means that we are praying in accordance with God's word and will. This being said, we are his children, and he is our Father. And children in this day and age need to learn a similar lesson as do the children of Almighty God. We need to be mindful of, if you will, God's welfare, as children at large in the world need to at some point become increasingly mindful, not simply of their own aspirations and desires, but of the welfare of their parents. They need to look to them afresh, through a fresh lens, and begin to give back. Well, God's children are called to give back to God, and to understand in the final analysis that we exist for his glory. The chief end of man is to glorify God. We exist for the glory of God, and our blessing will always be found to be contained in the glory of God. And for the believer, the glory of God also, conversely, will be found in the blessing to his people. And therefore, like Mary, I would pray the same prayer and ask God to make it increasingly meaningful and real to me. My soul magnifies or enlarges the Lord before me, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. You take a young lover, please. He's looking to his lady, or the lady is looking to her man. And that individual is enlarged before them because they loom so great in the heart and mind of the beloved. Or God would bring us to that place at which we love our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We love God, our Father, our beautiful, holy, and loving Father, that he is our raison d'être, as the French would put it, our reason for existence, and that we would lend ourselves to his care and glory as he lends himself to our care and our blessing. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. We are so apt and so want to be pursuing all manner of earthly happiness, and this is all very natural, and we are delighted when we encounter happiness in the lives of people. It's always a joy to see little children who are happy, laughing gaily together, or even when you go past a dog park and you see doggies playing together. There's a joie de vivre to their manner of play as they run about with one another. This brings great pleasure and joy to anyone of sound sense and well-meaning. But the Bible also wants us to rejoice in Almighty God. We've been separated from him conceptually and existentially and spiritually. Our bodies and our minds and hearts pay a heavy and dear price for that separation. And we need to relearn or learn afresh who he is and what we have in him. If I may put it this way, we need to understand with deepening measure just what is his value. My soul, says Mary, magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God had taken this young peasant woman, and she found herself amidst a very arduous set of circumstances. People around her would not understand what was playing out. Indeed, Mary would not understand, but she would humbly and submissively comply, trusting in Almighty God for her vindication, as well as for her general blessing. Indeed, she has been blessed in being given the task of carrying and bringing forth into the world and of nurturing and raising up the Savior, who is Jesus Christ. If anyone has reason to rejoice in the Lord, it is Mary, the mother of Christ. Then again, it is true for all of us. Jesus was once approached and was told that Mary and his brothers and sisters were waiting to talk with him. And Jesus' reply, without any disrespect intended to the Virgin Mary, who now had many children, courtesy of Joseph, and I understand with great respect there will perhaps be difference betwixt Protestants and Catholics on that issue. But that being said, Jesus replied, "Who are my mother, brother, and sisters? They are the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. I know, as a servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as a preacher of the word, I know that God has blessed me. He meets my every need. He prepares the way for me to perform and to officiate my ministry. Indeed, like Mary, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Praise the Lord. This is Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey, returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We continue apace with a devotional look at the Magnificat, or the great song or canticle of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. I continually reiterate something that continuously intrigues me. I'm enamored by the fact that this young illiterate peasant girl was a poetess. She had the spirit of poesy, as we would say in the ranks of English literature. She had the spirit of poesy within her, and her muse, of course, was the Holy Spirit. If John Keats, the great romantic poet, he would speak often of Cynthia, his poetic muse. For Mary, it was the spirit of Almighty God. And this is a breathtaking song, beautiful in its technicality. How I wish I could read it in the Aramaic, but it is beautiful in its application to all of us, as it applied so readily to Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. God has looked on the estate of his humble servant. Another translation will read that God has been mindful of his humble servant. I'm captivated as well by the concept and reality of the mindfulness of God. You know, the deists of the 17th century, they were a group of philosophers who believed in the existence of a transcendent and almighty creator. But they believed that he created the heavens and the earth and set it all into place, just as a clockmaker or a watchmaker would do the same with a watch or a clock. But then he took his leave, thereby allowing for everything to play out according to their own natures. This is in direct contradistinction to what the Word of God has to say of God himself. We know from the Word that God is transcendent. He is the creator and we are the creatures. He created us one and all. And therefore there is a yawning chasm in terms of our existence. God is self-existent. Our existence is derivative of him. So he is high above in the heavens. He is transcendent. And yet the Word of God also teaches us that he is immanent amidst and amongst the created realm. It is the Spirit of God, for instance, who maintains the earth, who brings forth the seasons. And when winter comes and the world, if you will, goes into a kind of hibernation, the natural world, that is, come springtime, there is regeneration and revivification. And this is all the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that God is well aware of even the number of sparrows at play in the world. So God is present amidst his created order, and praise be to God, we are given to know that he never leaves nor forsakes his people. Jesus said, as he prepared to ascend into the heavens on the other side of his resurrection, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Behold, I am with you to the end of the age." We read, please, in the Psalms, one of the great comforts for King David was that God watches over his children. I think, please, of the 121st Psalm, God watching over Israel, God neither slumbering nor sleeping in his watch care concerning his people, the Israelites. Praise the Lord. God was mindful of Mary. He provided for Mary just the right man, Joseph, a man of a godly and righteous disposition. Mary could have been thrown out of a house and removed from hearth. The damage to her reputation that could have beset upon her. And yet Joseph was a man who loved her, and he was a man who loved God. The word says in the Gospel of Matthew that he was a righteous and godly man, and he did not want Mary to be put to public shame. God raised up just the right man to come alongside of and to care for Mary during her pregnancy. God sent the angel Gabriel to visit with her as a herald, sharing with her how God would use her to bring forth the Savior. And Mary will be down through the ages a woman of immaculate and profoundly beautiful reputation. Whatever the differences may be betwixt Catholics and Protestants concerning Mary, we would all agree at the very fundamental level of her beauty and of the compelling nature of her devotion. And we love her and honor her no less as evangelical believers. Praise God for Mary. God was mindful of her. And now all generations are mindful of her as well. From now on, all generations will call me blessed to have been the mother of Jesus. Would she be worthy of any less? And as I believe, perhaps, and I say this with respect, if our Catholic friends, my Catholic brethren, if I might believe they take things perhaps to a lengthier conclusion than that with which I would be comfortable, it could well be argued in reverse that as Protestants, for all of our respect for her, we don't go far enough. Having known the love of a beautiful mother, and no one has loved his mother more than have I. I loved my mother, and she her love was compelling. Her beauty was compelling to me. I want to give the same homage to the mother of my Savior and Lord, who is Jesus Christ. God, who was humble, who was mindful of the humble estate of Mary, now wants all of his people everywhere down through the ages to honor and to respect the one who was given the task, the blessed vocation, if you will, of raising up Jesus Christ. But like Mary, who was given the calling of bringing forth Jesus into the world and of giving her nurture, all of us down through the ages, from generation to generation, it is now incumbent upon us that we give allowance in our minds and hearts and even our bodies, as the great Apostle Paul has put it, that we allow for Christ to be fully formed within us. You know, we're coming out of the Christmas season, and we love amidst that season to focus upon and to give emphasis upon the baby Jesus, the holy infant, and praise God for when he was little. But that being said, the baby grew up. And all too often we like to keep him in the manger, but the Spirit of God would bring him forth into our lives and would raise him up within us. As we give honor to the baby, the Christ child, we need with comparable, if not greater, significance to honor Christ, not simply a grown man, but the risen and coming back Lord of this world, who is Jesus Christ. There's nothing I want more of myself than that people will see Jesus in me. I may get in the way more often than I would care to be aware, but I pray that when all is said and done, there would be a clarity that when people meet me, they meet Brad Lacey, but they meet Christ through Brad Lacey. Praise the Lord. This is Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We continue to look at the Magnificat, or the song or canticle of Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, as you look through biblical history, there were other songs that were given to us in the Word of God. Of course, the entire corpus of the Psalms are effectively songs, musical poems, in honor and in paying of praise to Almighty God. They were existential expressions of whatever it was that King David and others were experiencing. But as you go back further into the Old Testament, there is, for instance, the Song of Miriam. Miriam being the sister or half-sister of Moses. There is the Song of Deborah, or Deborah. If you're a Welshman, you hear the name pronounced Deborah. But the Song of Deborah, who was given to rule Israel and frankly put the male soldiery to shame. There was also, I believe, the Song of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Praise God. But I'm not, for all of the beauty and profundity of those songs, and we diminish them not, I think it is safe to say not less of the others, but more of the canticle or song of Mary, if only because of who Mary is, but also because of the contents of her heart as well. She goes on to say, "He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and he has exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." Mary is now identifying with her posterity. Mary is aligning herself with the children of God down through the ages. Whatever God did on behalf of Mary, the extent and the depth of his mindfulness for Mary will be complemented by the extent and depth of his mindfulness of his people down through the ages. Praise the Lord. You know, we live today in an era of persecution, perhaps the greatest such era in the history of Christianity. More people died during the 20th century for the cause of Christ than the preceding 19 centuries combined. And now, in the early days of the 21st century, it is absolutely staggering what Christians are enduring at the hands of alien and hostile governments and amidst hostile and antagonistic cultures. It is positively horrific. Something like 200 million people who follow Christ live under such a pall. And many of them, and far more than we would wish to think, are children. But God is mindful of them as well. And their sacrifice and their suffering will never have been done in vain. I love how Paul puts it in his letter to the Galatians, that God is not unmindful of the labor of his children. He does not forget, he is not unjust, and he will honor his children. As a matter of fact, whatever our circumstances, we can never forget the fact that God is a God who blesses. If I may put it in and even take the risk of putting it in a more vulgar way. God is in the blessing business. He exists to bless his children. He honors his children. He honors every single Christian, young or old, male or female, black or white. He honors his children, and he is never, ever ashamed of us. Even when we look bad, you know, I come out of Boston, and I was a great fan of the Boston Celtics, and I watched almost every game in which Larry Bird ever played and patrolled, as we put it, the parquet floor in the old Boston Garden. When Larry Bird was at his best, I would say even to this day there was none finer. But when Larry Bird was having an off day or an off night, an off game, no basketball player in the history of the NBA ever looked worse. And there are times when, as Christians, we can look bad, when we are unmindful of the worth, if you will, of our Savior, when we are not living lives that are the product of the fear of the Lord. We will not look good in the eyes of the world. We will present a very poor witness, and we will pay the price for that. Still, notwithstanding, God is never ashamed of his people. He may discipline his people, but always in love for them. Just as he may bring forth wrath upon the world, as he did, for instance, in the days of Noah. But his wrath is always expressive of his redemptive care of his creation. Note, please, that the flood did not destroy the earth. It brought forth opportunity for renewal. God is in the blessing business, even when he pours forth wrath or issues discipline. Three times in my Christian existence, he has brought discipline upon me. It was never easy, but it was always productive. He always brought me through it, and I was always the better for it. Such is the love that my Father has for me. And such was the love that the Father had for Mary, that he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And that's the key. The predicate upon which our blessing is constructed is the holiness of God. To say that God is holy means that God is beautiful. Now, I'm an old film buff, and I can tell you, for instance, that Sophia Loren, who was considered one of the great beauties of the profession, she was not happy with her appearance. I put Sophia Loren through airport security once in Boston back in the early 80s. She was a very beautiful lady, but she was not happy with her beauty. She saw all of the flaws, if you will. But God is not flawed. God, who is beautiful, is flawless. He is holy in that he is beautiful, and his beauty is without flaw. It is whole. It is, if you will, well. We live in a day and age of wellness. We seek after wellness. We have philosophies and disciplines and academic courses and majors in wellness. That being said, God's beauty and God's holiness is that he is whole and he is well through and through. And therefore, when we rely upon him, when we place our trust in him, it will not ever be in vain. And he would bring his holiness or wholeness upon us. Those of us who are fragmented in mind and heart, those of us who have minds that understand one thing but hearts that yearn for another, those of us who feel young on the inside but our bodies begin to feel old on the outside, blacks and whites at odds, men and women at odds, generational divides today, all of this can be diminished and extinguished by way of the holiness of God. His name is holy. His character is holy. His promises are holy. And praise be to God, those of us who are part and parcel of his people, we are holy. I love how the Apostle Peter has put it And my lovely little fellowship has used this verse as a kind of signature for the year 2021, given that we were celebrating our 150th anniversary as a church. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, the 9th verse, that you and I who follow him, if you've been washed in the blood of the Savior, and that offer is for any and all who are listening, to be washed in the blood of the Savior and to receive the forgiveness of one's sins as you commit yourself to being a follower of Jesus Christ, you now become part and parcel of what Peter says. You are now a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. And I love how we read, we are now God's, and I quote, special possession. We are his special possession who have been called out of darkness and into his wonderful light. We have been so called out of darkness that we may speak him to a people amidst darkness, that we may declare the glory of him who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And we read that for those who do his mercy is for those who fear him, for those who respect and revere him, his character, his word, his law, his will, who embrace his love. You know, the great film actor out of Britain, Sir Alec Guinness, was a student of Scripture. He was an ardent follower of Christ within the Catholic fold. And his favorite text comes from Psalm 143, verse 8, that speaks of the mercies of God. They are new every day in compliment to God's unfailing love. Praise the Lord. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey, we're returning with a final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT, as we enter the new year, the calendar year 2022, I would love to bring to your attention that just as God has helped his servant Israel, as Mary put it so beautifully in Luke chapter 1, the 54th verse, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. God speaks his word to us. And in this vein, I would like to bring, please, to your attention a project upon which I have been working all of this past year, and we have so much more ahead of us. It is something called Voices of Philadelphia. It is a ministry of the Philadelphia Bible Society with a large helping hand from the First Baptist Church at Conshohocken. It is something that God laid upon me a number of years ago and now brings forth after years of marination. Voices of Philadelphia. And if I may just read from our website, welcome to Voices of Philadelphia, speaking God's word to a new generation, a ministry of the Philadelphia Bible Society. We know there are already a bunch of audio Bibles in a myriad of translations. We're doing something a bit different, broadcasting God's word with some familiar and trusted Philadelphia voices, along with some voices you may not know yet. We offer the Scriptures, that is all. No opinion, no politics, no bias. Our readers all agree to share God's word and may agree on little else, coming from different backgrounds, denominations, and sides of the aisle. They all agree on the transformative power of the word of God and so seek to bring it to your life. You are free to listen and free to download and free to share. We invite you to allow the word of God to be assimilated into your hearts and minds. We want nothing more than for you to encounter the living word, who is Jesus, as you listen to his word by way of Voices of Philadelphia. The website, please, is literally voicesofphiladelphia.org with no breaks in the address, voicesofphiladelphia.org. And we have just gone up and running with Paul's letter to the Romans, read by one of the great radio talk hosts of our day. It is my great hope that we can bring those on air here at 1210 into the project as well in the new year. But we have radio talk hosts, we have classical music hosts, we have pastors and priests, two novelists, an architect, a second-hand bookshop dealer, and many more. And next on deck, with Romans up and running, we have the Gospel of Mark, read by a marvelous classical music host, and we have the Book of Revelation, read by also one who was a great classical host and who is now a musical composer, currently working on an opera, which gives focus to the Book of Job. Voices of Philadelphia, a ministry that endeavors to bring the Word of God to a new generation of listeners and of readers. Voicesofphiladelphia.org. I encourage you, please, to take a look and allow the Word of God to speak to you in a way that heretofore it has not. Perhaps by manner of familiar voices, there will be those led to listen who would not otherwise reckon with the Word of God. And as we speak of the Word, we must also, please, speak of prayer. And if you will allow me, as we enter this new year, please, it would be my great privilege to lead us in a moment of prayer. We all need it. Well, these are difficult days, and we need God and the knowledge of God and the gift of His saving power. So join me, please, as we pray together. Gracious Father, thank you that you receive us before you, that you receive us warmly and joyfully and lovingly, that you have extended your hand to help us and to save us, that we might down through the ages be blessed, blessed in the living out of our lives, and blessed by way of our legacy when our lives are over. We thank you for Jesus, who is our life, whose blood was shed by which we will be cleansed of our sin, and for the Holy Spirit, who revives us and who within us guides us and teaches us and simply blesses us thoroughly. Father, we come before you on behalf of a truly beleaguered world, and we pray that you will bring the madness into submission, and that it will now defer to sanity. And Lord, that all of the rage and the anger that seems to be permeating this world of ours, that it will give way to the peace that passes all understanding, which is the peace of Christ. We pray, Father, for the 2 years that have been destroyed by the locusts, if you will, by way of pandemic and pandemonium. We pray that you will restore to us the years that the locusts have devoured. We pray, please, that Americans will bow afresh before Almighty God rather than before societal and governmental-induced fear and anxiety. We pray for the knowledge of Christ and of his gospel, that it will spread at greater rate of pervasiveness and profundity than COVID, please. We pray that our governing leaders will bow before you rather than compel citizenry to bow before them. We pray that the elites of academia and media and entertainment and the corporate world will look to Christ and be saved. We pray that the unborn will be effectively championed and that their champions will make great gains on their behalf. And we pray for those suffering from gender dysphoria, that they will know your healing and delivering hand, a hand that loves them in a way that no one or nothing else can or will. And we pray that there'll be a diminution of racial tension, and that you will bring healing betwixt blacks and whites, Asians and blacks, young and old, literate and illiterate. My Lord, that you will bring healing to the generational divide, that younger and older will mix afresh and be edified by one another. That you will bless your people, that you will awaken them to their high calling in Christ, and that you will give special grace to our persecuted brethren. And Lord, pleading the mercy and the blood of Jesus, may I thank you for this listening audience, for this station that allows this broadcast to air, for those who work with me to make it real and to give it an airing. I thank you, Father. I thank you for the great message as it plays out on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Bless us in this new year. We entrust it into your care, and we pray again in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Brad Lacey with the great message, wishing you a continued merry season of Christmas and a happy new year. God bless.